Cape Talk. Improve your life.
It's now 1:46 on Cape Talk. It brings us to the time of the day where we talk about improving your life. Now, as an executive search professional, a headhunter by another name, Jessica Gumsu has spent the bulk of her career working directly with the heads of, such as MDs, chairmen, directors of large companies to fulfill their ambitions for their businesses. And this means not just completing the task at hand, but understanding and anticipating the medium and long-term goals of the business and its potential need. And she does the same for her candidates and the professionals that she places in jobs. Welcome.
Thank you.
How are you, Jessica? Thank you so much for joining us today.
I'm so happy to be here.
So every time I've spoken to you, I always just get this overwhelming sense that your approach to recruitment is fresh, it's unique, and it's holistic. What would you what makes it that way? What do you bring that is unique?
I can talk about my approach, which I think is a career is such a big part of one's life. I mean, you spend so much time at your job that it's something that I take very seriously. And I look at someone's whole person. So not just their professional ambitions, but their personal ambitions, what will suit them culturally, what will suit their life. Is it someone who wants to, do they want flexibility? Do they want structure? Do they want to be in a very tiered environment? Do they need to spread their wings and be able to have a sort of more latitude in what they do? So I really try to read between the lines when I'm talking to someone. So not just the desires that they articulate, but what it is they aren't saying that is going to satisfy them in their job and therefore in their life. If you're not happy in your work, it casts a pall over your whole life. And if you are happy in your work, it is so, you can read such a great outlet for your passions and your ambitions, your intellectual base. It's just, it's a big, big, big part of you know who we are and what we are.
Yeah, what is a USP and how can we identify it?
So a USP is a unique, it stands for unique selling point. So how do you identify it? I think in most people's careers, even though the choices that we make can sometimes feel haphazard, there can be a thread that runs through all the choices you make. So it's probably easiest to illustrate with an example. So let's talk about you. Take me sort of briefly through what you've done from the beginning to where you are now, and then we can talk specifically about the thread that runs through all the choices you've made, and therefore it can guide you in your choices now and going forward.
Okay, awesome. You just put me in the hot seat there. So I've been in media and entertainment now for 24 years. Mm-hmm. I started out as a TV presenter for a while, TV host, then I became a model, and then I started acting on film and television, and then that carried on for a while. I was very successful in film. And then I did a bit of radio, I did a bit of writing, and then I published a book, which became a bestseller. And I've always wanted to be on talk radio. So now I'm coming, popping into Cape Talk every now and then. And then I host a daily talk show called Afternoon Express on SABC3.
Right.
And how would in this sense, the question I'm always asking myself is, am I just doing it because I'm used to it, or how do I reinvent myself if ever I want to?
So, if there is a part of you that is, do you feel that there is a part of you that is sort of seeking further satisfaction? So is there something you feel you are not doing enough of that you'd like to do more of?
Yeah.
Is there?
I'm one of the most dissatisfied people you're ever going to meet. I'm never going to stop.
It's a good thing.
Yeah.
Complacency is death. You know,
absolutely.
You do always. And I think one can analyze oneself to the point of making oneself unhappy, but you're not doing that. You're just, you're questioning yourself constantly. Am I doing enough? Am I doing that? You know, which is a good thing.
Right. So anyone sitting at home and they want to know, how do they recognize their unique selling point in their situation? What are the, can you take them through some steps and some tools?
Sure. But what I will say to you, so let's finish what we were talking about.
Yes.
So you were saying to me, so you're questioning yourself, what is it that you what is it that you love, that you feel you would love to incorporate even more of in your right. professional life? Is there something?
I mean, I feel like I've found it, but it's about articulating it and making sure that it's, I'm always dead set on it and that I'm focused on it without flinching, without being distracted by something else that I can easily do and that feels okay or it's coming my way.
Yeah. The thing with I find with you is you've got a very, very, you're extremely bright and you've got a very active mind. So in each thing that you do, you'll need to find in that role a source of stimulation. Your mind has got to be being challenged all the time. I'm talking specifically about you.
Yeah.
And so what I would say is your USP is your the combination of your brains and your intellectual curiosity and the voice. And it's a strong sort of creative vein that runs through all the choices you've made. But it, you know, you are, you seem to me to like doing things that have meaning, and you've done a lot of things that have meaning, and therefore I would say the things you carry on doing should have some real meaning for you.
Right. Yeah. So it's about recognizing the value that you hold most dear in a workspace, in your purpose, and just continuously pursuing that.
Yeah.
Okay. If you've just joined us, we're chatting to Jessica Gumsu about identifying your own unique selling point and making it work for you. Please call us if you have any questions on 021-446-0567 or SMS us on 31567. Now, Jessica, as we live in a society that faults women for aging.
Mm-hmm.
You know, women, if you're young and you're beautiful and you're under 30, you'll get given a chance as far as women get given chances.
Insofar as it happens, yeah.
How do women who feel like they've done so much and they've invested so much in their careers and feel like they're hitting a midlife crisis because there's suddenly all these messages coming at them from society, how do they drown that out and keep pursuing what they originally set out to do?
You know, I think it's also about, I think it's important to find your audience. So your previous guest was talking about how if someone really loves you, they cherish you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you need to find someone who is going to value what it is you've got to offer. So women who are, say, past childbearing age, fantastic for a prospective employer. There's not going to be maternity leave. The children are maybe a bit older, so there's not so much running off for school events, etc. There is also a proven track record. So there are a lot of companies, businesses, who want to hire someone who has done their time at the coalface, who is reliable, loyal, experienced. And I think that is important to focus on, as opposed to worrying about, and so my mother always said to me, take yourself out of the lineup. There's always going to be someone smarter, stupider, fatter, thinner, prettier, richer, poorer. You can, if you think of yourself, you know, you've got to drown out those voices and focus on what is good about you and how you are going to capitalize on those unique selling points of yours.
Yeah. And the technical prep, what kind of a CV, what can you add to your just basic CV, career analysis? How do you identify your skills and considering what careers these might fit into? Right?
Yeah.
Because now people are formulating their own careers. People are coming up with careers out of nowhere, and it's a really exciting time.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. It's not nearly as structured as it used to be.
Yeah.
There's a lot more movement in the industry. People don't stay in one job for 30, 40 years anymore. It's just, you know, they move around. We're much more fluid, nomadic. You know, people also don't stay in the same town they grew up in. We move globally all over the place. So in terms of a CV, do you want some basic, just how to put together a good straightforward CV?
Yeah, what must it have?
Okay.
What kind of a CV fails and what kind wins?
Okay.
So, especially if you've been in the job market for so long, you feel like, oh, I'm just going to send that same old CV I've been sending.
And CVs are, I think, I would say two things. It's like a sales tool. So it's going to represent you when you're not there to represent yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple of just basic tips. It goes in reverse chronology. So your most recent role first to your first job last. So reverse chronology from present to down through your past. I always say 4 to 5, first of all, bullet point it. No one reads paragraphs. 4 to 5 responsibilities, 4 to 5 achievements, and you can make an achievement sound like responsibility, but if you say you raise the turnover of your area by 30%, you're in business, put those sort of things. They're important. If you were manager of the year, or if you manage a team of 50 people, think of what someone should know. If you had a job for 2 months, don't put it on your CV. You know, you can edit it. It should show a clear and concise, and you know, there is an element of fiction in most people's CVs. I'm not encouraging anyone to lie. I'm just saying it should represent your best self. It should be a reflection of things that you've actually done, but it should neither try and limit it to about 2-3 pages, not too much longer than that.
Yeah.
And it in ideally, and this is sort of coming back to talking about finding the thread, there should be a demonstrable thread that runs through the choices you've made that makes it look logical, even if, in truth, it was somewhat haphazard. A lot of us have fallen into what we do by chance.
Yeah.
We didn't sit down and say, you know, failing being a doctor, lawyer.
Yes.
Most of us don't have such well-charted paths. But it, you need to be able to present it to someone as a logical career path.
Yeah. What about networking? I mean, there are people who say networking's not for me. I can't do it. I just want to die when I'm in that situation. And then there are people who just fly at it and they just can network anywhere. Mm. Is it for everyone? And if you feel like you can't do it, what's the bare minimum that you should be doing to network?
In terms of finding a role
Selling yourself, marketing yourself, networking when you are, say, at a business function, at a business breakfast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so I would say let's work it backwards. What is it that you want to achieve specifically by networking? Do you want to increase your network so that you know more people in the marketplace? Do you want to raise your profile? Do you maybe want to build a bridge to another department in the company you work for so you're at a breakfast? So figure out what it is you want to get out of it. If you are not good at it, you can do a kind of limited. I mean, I love talking to people. So I'm relatively gregarious, so I can go and I gain great energy from it. But as you say, some people just, it is terrifying. They feel shy. They close up into themselves. I mean, no one's sitting in this room, but you know, there, but it is so. So you don't have to talk to everyone in the room. You don't have to charm everything. But if you have a specific goal, figure out what it is and work backwards. Maybe talk to the one or two people who will help you, you know, who will help you achieve it.
Absolutely.
That's what I would say. Yeah. I hope that's
Yeah.
Just to sum it up, for anyone listening who's facing the challenge of finding their unique USP right now, or and they've been in the job market for years perhaps, and they just feel bored and they feel like, I love what I do, but I just want to reinvent myself. I want to find that vigor and that excitement I first had when I started this career.
Yep. Okay, so there is an exercise that I find incredibly helpful, and I'm not a big fan of sort of role-playing. I think some of that stuff can be a little hokey, but this is incredibly useful. You take a piece of paper, draw a line down the middle. On the left-hand side, you write 5 things that are important to you, and on the right-hand side, not. And it is only for you. It's not necessarily for anybody else, so it's important to be completely honest. If you want to earn a lot of money, you put that down. Mm-hmm. If you want the security of working for a big corporate company, the structure, you put that down. If you want freedom, maybe you want to work for yourself.
Yeah.
You want the freedom of being able to come and go as you like, work at night, during the day, run off and have lunch with a friend if you want to. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So if you are unfailingly honest with what's important to you and what's not, somehow putting it down on a sheet of paper, seeing it in black and white, throws into greater relief what you should be doing. So it will really help guide you in your choices, I find.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. That's very valuable advice. And sometimes some of us are very afraid to write down what we really want because it just looks so daunting and scary and so huge and we just don't know where to start.
Totally.
But happy Women's Day to you. And thank you for coming to bless us with your incredibleness.
Thank you. Love being here. Thanks.
Thank you, Jessica.